Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In a previous sermon illustration during Advent, I mentioned how a TV detective show handled the message of Christmas. And while I was remembering that illustration, I soon remembered a Charlie Brown Peanuts Christmas special, which talked about the meaning of Christmas. Now, I'm going to be able to tell your age gap here, because if you remember it, you were probably a child, and, you know, you're just with me. The Peanuts characters were all scurrying about, learning their lines of a Christmas play. Throughout, Charlie Brown is struggling to feel joyful about the season of joy and happiness, and he doesn't even know why he's sad. Repelled by the commercialism he sees around him, Charlie Brown tries to find the true meaning of Christmas. Charlie Brown's friends try to cheer him up in various ways, telling him about the good things in life, like the beauty of the snow or the good friends that he has. And so Charlie feels so down in the dumps, he goes to see Lucy, who is posing as a psychiatrist. Of course, he has to pay her 5 cents before she gives him any advice. And then Lucy rattles off a bit of fears or phobias that Charlie might have, and none of them seem to quite hit the mark. Lucy suggests that Charlie get involved in something to ease his sadness, like being the director of the Christmas play. Charlie Brown is then told to go find a Christmas tree that they will need for the play. And when he comes back with a disheveled, limp-looking Christmas tree, he is ridiculed and laughed by the Peanuts gang. Charlie feels so embarrassed because it seems that everything he tries to do ends in failure. And then he asks the question, "Can anyone tell me the true meaning of Christmas?" It is then we realize that that was a while ago, because then Linus reads a portion of Luke chapter 2 that we read this evening of the shepherds and the angels' announcement to the shepherds of the birth of Christ. Linus then says, "Charlie Brown, that's the true meaning of Christmas." This evening, as we look at Luke chapter 2, where Luke narrates the event of the birth of Christ and the shepherds and the angel, I want to consider this very foundational question that Charlie Brown asked and Linus answered from the Word of God. What is the meaning of Christmas? First, to answer the what is the meaning of Christmas, we must hear the angel's words about the content of this good news of great joy. The content that this one has been born who is a Savior, Christ the Lord. Each of those titles, Savior, Christ, and Lord, teach us about the content of this good news of great joy. So Jesus as the Savior. The word Savior means one who saves, preserves, and delivers. Actually, the word Savior has a wide range of meaning. It can mean to deliver someone from an enemy, to heal, to restore someone, to bring someone safely who was lost. As the people of Israel anticipate the coming of their Messiah, the question can be asked, what kind of rescue and deliverance did they expect? A political military leader coming to save them from the oppression of Rome, in much the same way that God used Moses and Aaron to bring the people of God out from the tyranny of Pharaoh. Well, in fact, Jesus did at least heal people physically during his ministry. In fact, he worked many miracles of healing and even raised some people from the dead. But even these miracles pointed to a greater miracle of healing. For instance, what he did and said when he healed the man who was paralyzed in Mark chapter 2. the spiritual healing that Christ wrought to that man as he said, "Your sins are forgiven." When challenged by the religious leaders, Jesus healed the paralyzed man to verify that he has, the Son of Man, has the authority to forgive a person's sin. And so we must look to God's word, promised in the Old Testament but fulfilled in the New Testament, to clarify what kind of Savior Jesus is and what type of deliverance he would bring, namely from sin and death. So Jesus as Savior. Also, the angel spoke of Jesus as the Christ. The word Christ means one who is anointed as King, the Messiah. The Old Testament lays the foundation for both of these titles, Savior and Christ, from numerous passages in the Psalms and the Prophets, which point to the coming of the one who would be both Savior and Christ. Again, the people of Israel's challenge was to allow Jesus of Nazareth to define what he meant as the King, the Anointed One. The people of Israel, as well as her religious scribes and teachers, interpreted and applied the person and mission of Christ in a way that they thought was a logical outcome of these Old Testament promises. What they thought was obviously an application of Christ's reign is that he would overthrow the Roman Empire. But this was not at all Jesus' goal, and he never pursued that. Instead, he went in the opposite direction. As he taught in his ministry, that if someone strikes you on one side of the cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a Roman soldier compels you to go 1 mile, go the second mile. When Jesus' arrest and trial were imminent, which he knew was coming, he did not mount a counterattack or even flee, but instead he stayed in the middle of the eye of the storm. On this very night, the sign of the Christ child being born in a manger was an ironic sign foreshadowing and pointing to Christ's kingship, which would be unlike any king in Israel or the world for that matter. For why in the world would a child destined for dynasty be born in a manger? I mean, just recently we had 2 royal babies in England, and I guarantee they were not born in a barn. And yet Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was born where animals were fed and slept. Even as Christ was born, his reign and rule would be clothed in humility and mystery until the time at which God provided further revelation about his son's ministry and identity. The people would have to shed previous ideas of the King of Israel and would need to follow the lead of Jesus to define what God's salvation and God's kingdom would mean. That's part of the lordship of Christ. You let him lead. Otherwise, you're acting as if you're in the driver's seat and you're pinpointing what kind of Messiah you want. The Apostle Paul says to us, in 2 Corinthians 4, 5, and 6, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." The last title that the angels speak about is Jesus as Lord. The word Lord is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament to translate the word Yahweh, and is describing this baby's identity in the highest possible way, that this child was truly divine. In And that is why it was appropriate, for instance, for the wise men to bow down and worship the baby. Because when you saw that baby's face, you saw the face of God Almighty. The New Testament would celebrate the angel's message that in this one person was both Messiah, Lord, and Savior. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, these words about Jesus. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Apostle Paul is quoting from Isaiah 45, which speaks of every knee bowing and swearing allegiance to Jehovah. Jesus is not only Messiah, but he is the Lord, Jehovah God, equal to God the Father. Luke 2:14 says this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth, and the angels announced the reality that this great king will bring about peace for his people. The angels are saying that God will bring about peace for men on whom his favor rests. There is an emphasis here on God's work, not on human effort. It is those whom God chooses of whom the angel speaks. The peace that the angels refer to is the peace between God and humanity, the healing of the estrangement caused by our human sinfulness. And it took God to fix and restore that. This is good news for all people. In due time, through the life and ministry of Jesus, we would find out he came not only for the people of Israel, but for the whole world. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. In one of his last resurrection appearances before he ascended, Luke records these words of Jesus in Luke 24, 45 through 47. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the third day from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his nation to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The message of the crucified and risen Christ calls all people to faith in his name and to repent of their sins, starting from Jerusalem, but then going to all the nations. This promise of forgiveness of sins and inclusion in God's family is for all people who will respond with faith and repentance. Second point of this good news is how this good news should impact us. We have first the response of the shepherds. The shepherds sought and found Jesus in response to the angel's message. The shepherds did not keep this message private, but went about telling everybody that they could. We should not be surprised by their excitement and their zeal to tell others, for it is something very natural within human nature that if you have something good, you want to share it with other people. Isn't it natural that when you like a restaurant, you talk it up among your friends? You brag on that business establishment. In their food and their service, you want to let other people know. And why wouldn't we want to talk and boast about how good and tremendous God is? This good news of great joy, which is for all the people. How God in his grace has loved us, even though we don't deserve it, yet he loves us with an everlasting love. Luke rounds out this passage as he comments that the shepherds were full of praise to God for the promises they heard from the angels and what they saw at the manger, which verified the heavenly message. A last response is that of Mary. Luke 2:19 says that Mary pondered and treasured all these things in her heart. It was extremely important to her, and she thought about God's word to her and to the shepherds. The word translated that Mary treasured all these things means she preserved them in her memory. She guarded them with vigilance to treasure and to keep safe in her memory. Mary carefully kept in mind the message of God through the angels relayed to her by the shepherds, but also the angel Gabriel's message to her that she would conceive and bear a child, and they were to name him Jesus. She mulled over these things over and over in her mind and heart. She treated these promises as precious, more precious than silver or gold. May we truly hear this message, the meaning of Christmas, Jesus as Savior, Christ and Lord, and respond with evangelistic zeal, reverence, and worship of Jesus, the divine Son of God, who became human for us. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, we do give you praise and thanks for your love in sending your Son into the world to be a light for all people, the light of your Son's identity and the salvation which you accomplish for your people. Help us to adore, worship, and serve you. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.